All right, let us go back east and bring in Paul White of formerly of USA Today Weekly and, of course, a great baseball man and one of the top analysts in the country. Paul, how are you on this Sunday morning with the news of Jose Fernandez? What was your reaction to it?
Yeah, that was a tough one, obviously. You know, just a guy that with an infectious personality, and, you know, you just felt good when you were around him. You know, he made you laugh, and a guy who was genuinely happy to be doing everything he was doing, and people just seemed to flock around him. And it's you know, never mind the baseball part of it. It was, you know, it's just tough if you've ever met the guy.
Yeah, someone tweeted out. I mentioned it when I think Barry Bloom was on that. The youngest all-star ever to pass away, you know, in the prime of career like that. And a little bit like a Clemente in a way in his community. And I think for what you just described of him, and he was one of those shining lights that now is extinguished and maybe will be memorialized a little bit like Clemente was for the Puerto Rican community.
Yeah, and, you know, just his story, you know, coming out of Cuba and you know, first going into the Cuban-American community in the Tampa area, which is so strong and has produced so many major leaguers. You know, and almost by chance he ends up in Miami, of all places, to play, which was the perfect place for him. It'll be interesting to see, especially as things change with the U.S.-Cuban relations and more Cubans, you know, come into the major leagues, and we start to get a little more freedom to learn about the culture, the Cuban baseball culture. It will be interesting to see what kind of place he ends up in.
All right. Jose Fernandez talking with Paul White about that tragedy from this morning. Boy, and I grew up in Miami Beach, and I know that area so well. It's government cut, we call it, the jetties on both sides. It is a channel where the cruise boats go out into the Atlantic, and to be out there at 3 in the morning, not the safest place to be in a boat. It was a rough section. The water was rough going out to the Atlantic there, so I feel for him and everyone connected to the Marlins and the baseball community and just life in general. He was a bright light. Turning to baseball, Paul, we talked a couple of weeks ago around Labor Day, and we talk to you as this race unfolds. Washington, your team there, where you live, clinched last night for Dusty Baker, the Giants, the Reds, the Cubs, now the Nationals. I think it's another feather in his cap, and he's never won the big one, but Dusty sort of rejuvenated himself, I think, with this team.
Yeah, he has. I think he's just having fun. He's Dusty again, and if you're around that team, you can just see it. He's been that way since day one. I think he came into the spring training with this team with that kind of an attitude. He was just glad to be back in the middle of it again, and he was joking with everybody. He was at ease, and it's something we kind of lost when he was at the end of his tenure, really in Cincinnati, same thing in Chicago. You know, he got a little tense. There was a lot of pressure around him, and I think he's taken this one as, you know what, it's all gravy now. You know, I don't have to be managing again. He loves it, obviously, but I think he's proud of what he's done, because if you talk to a lot of people who've been around that club the last couple of years, that was a difficult clubhouse. There was a lot of factions, and you know, I've heard some guys call it poison. I don't know if it was that bad, but it needed help, and I think it's still kind of an odd place, a lot of odd personalities, but, you know, they got the Papelbon thing straightened out as the year went on, and he's done a great job, because this team has not really clicked on all cylinders all year. Bryce Harper's not had a good year. He hasn't been the MVP. You know, Strasburg's out again. They've had all kinds of pitching injuries. They thought Ben Revere would be a key guy for them in center field. Trey Turner, the rookies, had to take over out there. In one sense, it's a great managing job, I think. But in the other sense, despite their record, I think there's a lot of concerns for this team going into the postseason.
Well, against the Dodgers, who they're going to play, they're 1-5. And, you know, we've seen out here, you got to have lefties to neutralize the Dodgers. And the Nationals have Gio Gonzalez. How would you like to put all your eggs in that basket?
Not at all. And, you know, I think given the choice, he's at least fourth on the pecking order, and if Strasburg would be there, even Joe Ross, who came back yesterday, I don't know if he'll be a factor. Gonzalez is way down the pecking order. No, he's not. He may be the least dependable, or at least the veteran starters on that team. But they're probably going to need him. There's no guarantee Strasburg's going to be back. I doubt it. I doubt if he'll at least be ready for the beginning of the playoffs. They're being kind of careful of what they're saying about it. But they've got some issues there, and I think their bullpen still suspect getting to Mark Melancon too.
Well, the Mets are up 6-0 on the Phillies right now. The Cardinals, Martinez tonight against Lester, who's been just lights out. And then the Giants, young Ty Block goes against the Chihuahuas, the El Paso team. And of course, Clayton Richard, the old Michigan quarterback, who's now slinging the ball differently. This is quite a Sunday of National League wild card situations. How do you see it?
Well, I mean, the Mets are messing it all up. They're winning. Nobody wins anymore. No, really, they're going to be tripping all over each other all week, and I think it's going to be an incredibly frustrating week for the fans of all three teams. It's kind of the way it's become. If somebody can win half their games this week, that may be good enough. And it's difficult because on all of these teams, you see really good things. And then something goes wrong. I mean, I don't have to tell you guys about the frustration with the bullpen with the Giants. It's gotten a little better in the last several days, but, is it because, who they're playing? The offense until they got to San Diego was an issue. The Cardinals, if you talk to them, it's the same kind of problems. They're not playing defense the way they used to. They're making sloppy mistakes. Their pitching is suspect. And the Mets, there's still that sort of woe is us. Who's going to start games for us now with all those pitching injuries? I mean, this thing may come down in the end or even in the wild card game, and it's all going to be on Bartolo Colon.
They want to pitch him every day. I think that's what they'd like to do. But, the Mets do go into Miami, and I realize, Don Mattingly's got to get his team together to play. I wonder what effect that's going to have on the Miami Met games.
Exactly. Who knows what to expect there? I mean, there's no possible way you can know how a team's going to react to what happened. I don't want to sound cold and mercenary about it, but that's a key start that the Mets don't face. I mean, Fernandez is arguably one of the top five pitchers in the league, and he's not going to be there on the field for whatever start he would have had in that series. Well, and plus the effect on the team. This close to the end of the season, and a season that's pretty much done for the Marlins, it would be very easy and almost understandable for that team to just sort of fold up. Or do they just, win it for Jose? It's going to be really interesting to see how they react.
One of the items in news, and of course to us out here, anytime you mention this guy's name, it's sort of like a buzzword, Pablo Sandoval. The name, have you seen this? The name has come up. He's ahead of his rehab. He's lost, I don't want to say a ton of weight, no pun intended, but he's gotten in much better shape. And, there's a little pressure on John Farrell maybe to bring him back. What do you think of that?
I don't think there's any pressure to bring him back.
Okay.
I honestly don't. I mean, of all the teams in these races right now, the Red Sox have separated themselves from that wild card race in the American League. They've pulled away, and they're playing really good baseball. You talk about you want a team to be going well going into the playoffs. They may not have the best record, but they're really playing their best baseball, and that's what the Red Sox are doing right now. And they're kind of scary. Their pitching is starting to fall into place. They're getting production all over the place, up and down their lineup. He's got more than enough guys to play at a lot of positions. I mean, bringing Sandoval back would be like go back to the recent years where we've had situations, which now you can't do anymore. If you've had a guy suspended for all or part of a season, he becomes eligible, and do you put him on the roster for the playoffs? Do you disrupt what's been going on? I think that would just be so dangerous for a Boston team that's really going well.
Paul White with us. So of course, we love having Paul on as we go through the season. Someone asked me the other day about the Cleveland Indians losing Carrasco and Salazar. And I said, well, if Trevor Bauer and Tomlin and Clevenger can do something along with Kluber, maybe. But boy, Cleveland Indians, you know, they're 90-64. They're, you know, just a half a game behind the Red Sox for catching their record. Texas probably is going to end up with the best record, but there's no guarantee of that. Cleveland could. How do you see Cleveland in this playoff? What do you think is going to happen with the Indians?
Well, you know, Cleveland was the kind of team I really like going into the playoffs usually, because you look for that team that can line up probably three quality starting pitchers and they do everything else fine. They're not spectacular. They could knock somebody off. I think the matchups will have a lot to do with what happens with the Indians and how the pitching will match up. You're right, Trevor Bauer is huge for them. Kluber, I think, will give them good outings. Bauer has become a lot more consistent. He's become a lot more mature on the mound, and I think he could be a big guy. But how will he handle playoff pressure? That's an interesting question. And then after that, you don't know what else you have in that rotation. You know, it is a Tomlin. They get thin in the bullpen. They've stretched out their long guys now. They're finished. If they can get it, stay in tight games with Andrew Miller and Cody Allen at the end of games, Brian Shaw, that's a pretty solid finishing couple of innings. But their offense is probably a little more balanced than a lot of the other teams. They play really good defense. Francisco Lindor, if you haven't seen much of him, is just a phenomenal shortstop, and he hits two. One of the real sleepers this year, Jose Ramirez, a kid that took over at third base, pushed Uribe out of there. This kid's fabulous. Boy, if they had their pitching, and if they had Michael Brantley, I could see them going to the World Series. But maybe they can win a series, but that's probably it.
Well, the American League, it's 8-7, 7-6, 8-7, 9-8. And if you've got the 9-8 by the time it gets to your bullpen, you know, with even if the Orioles get in this thing with the Britain, and as you said, with Andrew Miller and the Red Sox, it's going to be 8-7, 7-6, and you just have to hope you've got the lead getting into that bullpen, because that's the way the American League works. Even though Toronto's not scored much, they're a very dangerous team if they stick in there. And look at the Tigers and all that. What a crazy time of year. Blown saves, comebacks, big runs. Well, what a last week of baseball, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, it is. And like I say, the observer who doesn't care who wins is just fabulous to watch. But it's gut-wrenching because wild card races tend to be like this, too, at the end. You know, we don't have much for division races this year, but wild card races are always teams sort of not really stumbling in, but they're in a wild card race because they weren't good enough to win a division. There's enough warts there that drive you crazy. And if you're a fan of that team, I'm sure with Giants fans, you know what every one of those warts are, and you cringe at certain points in the game. Like, you know, or, you know, every time. I've been watching other teams' telecasts of Giants games recently, and even that, Dick Enberg the other night was like, well, what's Bochy going to do here? You know, which guys are you going to trust now? You know, and it's fascinating to other people, but it's a killer if you're a fan of the team.
Well, I'll answer the question. It's Will Smith and Romo and Strickland. I think that's about it. And maybe Javi Lopez.
On Wednesday, Marty.
Maybe, yeah, really. All right. Well, pleasure having you on. And, of course, who knows what next weekend will bring. We may be chatting with you next weekend as well, but I appreciate you being on.
Anytime, Marty.
All right, that is Paul White. He founded USA Today's Baseball Weekly. Great baseball guy.